Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you missed the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Every holiday shopper's got a list, but Ross shoppers, you've got a mission. Like a gift run that turns into a disco snow globe, throw pillows, and PJs for the whole family, dog included. At Ross, holiday magic isn't about spending more. It's about giving more for less. Ross, work your magic.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team and every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, it's low times in Las Vegas, man. But let's start off with a game that I think everyone in the football world probably agreed upon when they were predicting this.
Not Pony.
Not Pony. The Cowboys do get right against the Raiders. I tried to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, Pony. I did forget that you had Geno Smith and the Raiders coming out in this one. What happened? How did they disappoint you, and how did the Cowboys come out victorious?
I thought the Raiders were going to be competitive this year. I didn't think they would win the division. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs, but I didn't think they'd be the same old Raiders. Yeah. And they are. Geno Smith was great that first game against New England. They won at the Patriots. People forget that that was one of New England's two losses this year. Mm-hmm. And they've really been a bad football team ever since. Their offensive line came into the season considered one of the better lines in the NFL. And Geno Smith has played like garbage behind it. He's in his mid-30s. So I think there's questions about whether or not he has a future in the NFL as a starting quarterback, even though the Raiders gave him all that money after the trade. The other thing is Ashton Jeanty. And it's another example here, Pat, where we get told by the draft people that, oh, this running back's different. This running back actually should be a top 5 or top 10 pick, even though most running backs don't go that early, because he's special, because he's different. And look, they do him no favors. He had 6 carries for 7 yards Monday night. So obviously six carries is not enough for him to really make a difference in a game. But all the times I've watched him this year, I don't see Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't see Bijan Robinson. I don't see Saquon Barkley. I mean, we saw it with Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers was drafted by the same organization. And Brock Bowers looks like he's going to be one of the great pass-catching tight ends of all time. So I think they're going to look back and wonder about this pick because the Judkins kid in Cleveland, another bad team, looks way better than Gentry. And he was a guy that didn't have training camp or the preseason because he was going through off-the-field issues. So that's actually my biggest takeaway. And maybe it's just because I felt confident the Raiders were going to upset the Cowboys at home. But they are as lost as they've ever been. And it makes you wonder with Tom Brady somewhat in charge, Pat, what they're going to do this offseason to try to correct it.
Yeah, the Raiders right now are not in a very good position. Like I told you when we was, you know, giving our predictions about this game, they wasn't going to be able to do enough to keep up with the Dallas Cowboys offense. If their defense was a little bit better, then maybe it would have been a better game. But George Pickens and Dak Prescott with an amazing – look like they're, you know, they're with their amazing hookup, George Pickens going over 140 yards, CeeDee Lamb getting a touchdown, getting involved, making big-time plays down the field. And the running game, you know, for the Dallas Cowboys, when Williams is able to, you know, rush the ball over 80-plus yards and Dak is able to, you know, put up 250-plus yards, those are the results that you're going to get from a Dallas Cowboys offense, you know, 30-plus points, you know, moving the ball efficiently up and down the field and defense getting some key stops and playing really, really fast. So Dallas got back on track coming off that bye week, playing with some heavy hearts with the passing of their teammate. How you say his last name, Pony? Nealon?
Nolan.
Nolan. The passing of Nolan a couple weeks ago. So those guys played with some heavy hearts, and you could tell that they wanted to win that game for him. And about the Raiders, I believe they're doing a disadvantage for Ashton Gentry right now, not really getting him involved. And I really do feel like that wasn't the pick for the Raiders just because of his skill set that he provided in college. He was just a downhill runner. He wasn't a change of pace type of guy, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and things like that. So he was much more of a old school type running back. So it might take him a little bit longer to get, you know, adapted to the NFL game, and also a coordinator that he can be properly matched up with, so he can be able to flourish in the run game, as we saw on the college field when he was at Boise State. So the Raiders got some soul searching to do. I thought, as you said, I thought that they will be way more competitive with Pete Carroll being their head coach, but there seem to be like the same old Las Vegas Raiders.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think what's really alarming as well about the Raiders situation is the massive step back that looks like Geno Smith has also taken after having some success in Seattle. It does not look like it's going well in Las Vegas. Let's go over to the Lions and the Eagles, right? Because we had a big showdown in Philly, a big NFC showdown with Beast, and Philly came out on top. There's an old saying, gentlemen, that winning cures all. And we have to see if that reigns true in Philly for this week after A.J. Brown let some statements fly, then had a meeting with ownership and promised ownership, I will not say anything more on social media. Lips are sealed. I'll behave. I promise. I'm sorry. Then went out and got like 8 targets in the first half, got what he wanted. The Eagles hang on to win. So, one, how did they do it? And two, can this style of football appease A.J. Brown for the rest of the season?
No. And the way they won it was by defense. You know, defense played outstanding, made Jared Goff entire night live in hell. Every opportunity that he had, every opportunity that he dropped back and passed the ball was even either getting batted down or he was running for his life trying to find, you know, a way to get the ball to his pass catchers. But for the most part, the defense was smothering for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, Gibbs was probably the only bright spot on that on the Detroit Lions offense for the most part throughout that game. He, you know, him and Williams had a couple of explosive plays, but for the most part, that defense was very, very smothering. Mitchell coming up with some key plays on as a defensive back. Cooper Najin, Phillips continues to make his presence felt as an edge rusher. You know, we know what the two young guys in the interior and Davis and Carter are providing for that team. And hell, with the two of them together had 5 PBUs. You know what I mean? So they had an opportunity to put their seatbelts on as well as Jared Goff was trying to get the ball down the field. But for the most part, that defense played lights out. And I'm probably going to come to my senses or stop saying that the Philadelphia Eagles can't win when Jalen Hurts throw the ball for 150 yards, because they have done that time and time again. Saquon Barkley, I believe, have yet to have a 100-yard game. A.J. Brown is at his career low, at maybe 500 yards right now. You know what I mean? So averaging 40 yards a game, so that's not to his standard, especially from last year, averaging over 85 yards a game. So his production is cut in half. But they just find a way to continue to win. You know, last year, you know, it was a little bit of both as far as offense and defense of them putting it together. But this year, it seemed to me that they're really leaning on their defense and their special teams to get them over the top. And sometimes that's how it is, you know, and they're just going to try to figure it out throughout the rest of this year. You know, could keep collecting wins, get into the playoffs, and see where the chips lay. And hell, next year we can finally get this offense back going. But as of right now, the offense is still in status quo.
Defensively, they look like the team that won the Super Bowl, that Kansas City game where they just had no answers offensively. Kansas City couldn't block. And when you can't give your quarterback time, you're screwed, even if it's someone like Patrick Mahomes. Now, I think that, you know, Goff had a little bit more time. And frankly, I think for the Lions, if they got to go on the road in the playoffs, they're going to lose. You know, we've seen it now enough with Goff where he is a Jekyll and Hyde guy. He's much, much better at home than he is on the road, especially when you take him outdoors. And it was a very aggressive and ferocious Eagles defense, but I still don't think that excuses just how awful he was when pressured and on third and fourth down. I mean, he was pitiful. We wouldn't expect those numbers from a rookie quarterback. They were that bad, especially with the weapons they have there. I have to wonder with Philly's offense, if a little bit of it is like Kansas City last year, where are they holding stuff back? And when I mean holding stuff back, I think it's Hurts in the run game. They're not really running him a lot. I think they're trying to protect him more. And I do think when he becomes more of a weapon as a runner, it's going to open some things up for everybody else. I think they're keeping that in their back pocket while they keep winning these games. They seem to have solved a lot of their secondary problems, I think, because their rush is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, though, two things at the end of the game. Number one, Nick Sirianni's got to stop going for these stupid fourth downs. I understand that their tush push they think is unstoppable. It's a two-possession game. Your defense hasn't given up a big play the whole night. Punt the ball there, please. I mean, what are you doing? Basically, you get stopped and you spotted Detroit 3 points and they felt like they were back in the game because of it. Yeah. And they did have a chance to win it because of that. And then, I mean, the pass interference call is one of the stupidest calls in a late big game situation I've ever seen. I still can't get over that. If a playoff game ended that way, we'd be talking about reinstituting, reviewing that play, because A.J. Brown was just as combative with the corner Yasin as he was with him. And it's just a sad way for a game to end when there's just such a as far as the standard for the game, like that was happening probably on every play. And they called it there and it decided the game, Pat. And I think that that's pretty bad.
Yeah, they that was a bad call in that moment. They got to let those guys play. As you said as well, AJ Brown was, you know, at more of an advantage as far as pushing and extending the arm. By rule, the receiver cannot extend his arm, which they do on every play as well. can't extend his arm to create separation. Clearly see what he's doing. He started with his forearm and clearly extended his arm to try to get the defensive back off of him. The defensive back never actually held him. Yeah, he might have grazed him, but he never held A.J. Brown. So that was a bad call by the refs. And again, we need more refs on the field, man, because I already know. I can still hear it today. I can go to the ref. Hey, man, what you calling? He pushed me off. I didn't see it. What the hell are you watching then? What you mean you didn't see it? What are you watching? So,
justice for defensive backs. We will continue.
It's honestly, and I'm not just saying that because Pat's here on the podcast. It's the, in my opinion, after quarterback, it's the second hardest position in the NFL to play.
No question. No question. No question. So, did we answer the question? Did the Eagles can still win this way, but it won't appease AJ Brown this way?
Yeah, I said they can still win that way, but no, it's not going to appease.
It's not going to appease it. So he's gonna have to get used to it.
Winning is not going to cure it all. I'll tell you this: if he don't have a big game coming up, he will be right back on Twitch, right back on Instagram, right back in the media, talking about how the offense cannot continue to perform this way in order to win a championship. Which he's right, though.
He's not
like,
wrong.
They can't, in my opinion. Like, you have to be able to, you know. Well, I said I was not. I'm going to stop saying that they can't win, can't continue to win that way, because they continue to prove me wrong. But at some point, they're going to have to be more productive than they have been in this 2025 season.
Let's see if he gets called back to the principal's office again, if he goes back on it on Instagram or back online. From the NFC showdown to the AFC showdown, because, gentlemen, it might be the dawn of a new day. And we might be heading to a new chapter in the NFL, because the Broncos slayed the dragon. They get the big win over the Chiefs, man. What a statement win. Pat, you're nodding your head emphatically like I told you also. So
you did.
What happened?
You should.
What happened? What happened in this game? How did the Broncos do it?
Oh, man. I mean, for the most part, the Broncos played lights out defense, got after Patrick Mahomes, sacked him a couple times. Kept them flustered in the pocket. But the biggest thing for the Chiefs, man, and it's been my concern all year, is the running game. Like, they have zero running ability in order for that offense to be effective as they was. Not even last year, because they didn't have a running game either. The years that we saw, you know, this Kansas City Chiefs putting up, you know, 30-plus points a game, you know, Andy Reid drawing up plays, you know, on the sideline, you know, and having the guys go out and execute on the football field. So, to me, that's the most alarming thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. They can't run the football, and they can't not protect Patrick Mahomes. When they go up against teams that have a solidified pass rush, you know, that can keep Patrick on his heels and running around in the backfield, they have trouble. Because their receivers, yes, they have speed at the receiver position, but when you don't have to rush When you don't have to blitz Patrick Mahomes, when you can have more eyes on him and having guys playing coverage and things like that, it makes it harder for him to be successful because you have more eyes on him when he's getting ready to deliver the ball. So that's why now you're seeing more tip balls. You're seeing more interceptions that he's throwing in these last couple of years because of how, you know, the offense is being ran, you know, not with the running game and him pretty much having to make these backyard football plays. So that's continued to be my concern for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 5-5 right now. And I said this in the beginning of the year that there was a new that they will be dethroned. But I didn't know which team, but it seemed to me that it's going to be the Denver Broncos. I knew the Chargers was going to be a much better team than they were. But right now, the Denver Broncos, man, are playing like, you know, the best team in the NFL. You know, I know Bo Nix didn't have any touchdown passes, but he also did not make any mistakes, and he made the right play when his team needed him to. And you know, that's becoming the story of Bo Nix right now, at least this season.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, he's not having, you know, the rookie sensation that he the rookie success that he had last year, but this year he's making the plays when the team need him the most. He's making putting points on the scoreboard in the fourth quarter, sustaining drives in the fourth quarter. You know, so he's playing winning football, and that's all his team asks for him. And Sean Payton, as a play caller, is continuing to not put them in bad situations because we know what our defense is going to provide. They're going to provide short fields. They're going to take the ball away, and they're going to harass the quarterback. All we have to do now as an offense is not give the ball away, sustain drives, and put points on the board as much as we can.
It is interesting, like, their formula there when they've won lately. When they won the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning was a shell of himself, and it was all defense, and they relied on Manning to just not make mistakes and put the offense in the right situations and the right plays and manage games and maybe make a play or two late. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but even like when Tebow was there, you know, he would have no passing yards or no stats for three quarters. The defense would keep him in the game, and then he would pull some kind of rabbit out of his hat at the end of a game. And I don't think that Bo Nix is obviously Tebow. He threw for 29 touchdown passes last year. That would be disrespectful. But it is interesting how kind of bad their offense looks for three and a half quarters. And then when they got to have it late in the game, he comes through for them. And, you know, when you've got a defense as solid as the Broncos, I guess you're able to kind of save it for late in the game and get away with it. The Chiefs' issue is that they can't beat good teams on the road this year. They also can't win close games. Last year, they were 11-0 in one score games. They're 0-5 this year. Mm-hmm. They're 0-5 in one score games. You would think with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, just keep us in the game and we're going to find a way to win. They've lost every single one. And they're to the stats away from Arrowhead, they lost to the Chargers in Brazil. They got beat by the Jags in Jacksonville. They got beat by the Bills 3 weeks ago. They got beat by the Broncos this Sunday. But at home, they scored 30 against the Lions, 37 mm-hmm. against the Ravens. Now, they lost to Philly. That was early in the year. But you get my point. Like, it looks like right now they're not going to play at Arrowhead in the playoffs because mm-hmm. Denver's going to win the division. So they're going to start on the road. And based on what we've seen this year, not like 2 years
ago. They're not even in the playoffs right now. They got to get their first pony.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Now, the thing I'll say about, you know, my criticism of them is now all their tough games are basically at home other than Thanksgiving at the Cowboys. The rest of the way, the Colts next week, the Texans, the Chargers, the Broncos, they've played most of their tough games on the road already. So, you know, now is the time for them to basically win out to make the playoffs, finish 12-5 and go into the playoffs with momentum. But everything you said about their offensive struggles and running the ball is true, especially on the road this year where they do not have a balanced offense whatsoever in those games.
So, Pony, real quick, I'm looking at their schedule. They got the Colts coming up. They're home against the Colts, at the Cowboys, home against Texans and the Chargers. How you see their record being since you said they have to win out?
I would say right now that I think their schedule sets up in a way like the Bengals last year, where they won all those games at the end of the season and ended up missing out on the playoffs, though. Mm-hmm. I think they'll lose between now and the end of the year probably only one more game, would be my prediction on them.
Okay.
You disagree?
Yeah, I do. They're going to lose two. They're going to lose at least two of those games.
I think they'll beat the Bills on Sunday. I mean, we'll make the prediction on the podcast coming up later in the week, but my gut right now tells me they're going to beat Indianapolis at home on Sunday.
Yeah, me too. I can see that being a win for them. I see them beating the Cowboys. The Texans might shock them, man. I don't know.
Well, they got a defense.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. So I'm feeling that game, Texans, and a divisional opponent in the Chargers.
I'm surprised we didn't get a water bet on the Chiefs' record to end the season.
Man, well, I might have to lay low on the water bets for a little bit here after what happened last week. My worst week picking picks of all time, and we count all the games for the first time ever.
We just been stacking Patrick Peterson's fridge. That's all we
Yeah, exactly.
That's all we've just been going grocery shopping for the man. Let's go to the Bears and the Vikings. We talked about the Broncos kind of fourth quarter magic early in the season. The Bears have taken that baton and they have run with it. They have another walk-off win, another fourth quarter win, and the Vikings have some more questions to answer about J.J. McCarthy. So first of all, who was the star in this one for the Bears win?
I'm going to say it. Maybe I'm concentrating and focusing on the teams that lost because they're the teams that I picked. So I'm guilty as charged if that's what you guys think. I watched this entire game. I cannot believe how bad J.J. McCarthy looks, honestly. I mean, to me, he was the star of the game for Chicago. I would have given him a Gatorade bath afterwards. I'm serious. I mean, he's missing Jefferson wide open. I mean, the touchdown throw he made to Jordan Addison at the end of the game was a good play. I mean, he's another one of these guys like Bo Nix, even though they're losing games where – you know, he tends to play his best at the end of the game, and you ask yourself, where is it for the first 50 minutes? So he looked great on that last drive, but again, like, there's no feel. You know, I was not an athlete anywhere close to your level, Pat. I mean, you're 100 out of 100, and I'm like a 10 out of 100 at best. But, like, I pitched in high school, and, you know, like, you're supposed to have a feel for an at-bat and the guy you're pitching to and, like, when to throw him fastballs, when to throw him off speed stuff. McCarthy has no feel for that. When he's supposed to put touch on a ball, he zips it in there. Guys don't even have their head turned around sometimes. I mean, it's wild. I guess, you know, he did play a lot at Michigan, but he didn't pass the ball a lot. It was basically a run first offense. And the mental reps he got last year watching do not seem to have helped whatsoever, because in an offense that is supposed to be catered to the quarterback, he looks completely out of sync. And I guess to make it about the Bears too, that's why I think, you know, the Ben Johnson hire was so important for Caleb Williams' development, because yes, I still see him making some of those like hero ball plays, but they're not as frequent. And like one of the things he did a lot in this game was he'd get pressured, he'd escape a sack. Yeah. And instead of trying to make like a crazy throw, he would just keep it himself. Yeah. And he would get a few yards, or he would live to play the next down. And in a close game, that was probably a big key in not turning the ball over and winning the game.
Yeah, that was huge in this game, not turning the football over. As we saw, it came down to the wire that they needed every possession to be on the field in order, you know, to keep the ball out of the Minnesota Vikings' hands, although the offense wasn't doing anything to threaten them. But as an offense, you never want to, you know, give the opposing team extra possessions. So to your point as well, J.J. McCarthy has to be better, man. Like, he has to be better in his especially in those rhythm throws. It's almost impossible for him to be missing, you know, J.J. wide open, Addison wide open on routine, like routes on the air, out routes and things like that. You know, so and I don't know what it is with J.J. McCarthy right now. Excuse me. Right now in this office, because it just seemed like it's not clicking with him as far as the concepts in the passing game. And also, it seemed to me that Kevin O'Connell had kind of getting away from the naked boots with his quarterbacks that he liked to run. I see less of that when J.J. McCarthy is in the lineup as a starting quarterback. So I don't know if that's something that he's not – that's not his strength or his arm is not strong enough for it, because I honestly have questions about that. Do he really have the arm talent? You know what I mean? Because a lot of balls sail on him a lot when he's trying to connect down the field, especially. And as you said, as you pointed out as well, he went to Michigan. That was especially with Jim Harbaugh. We know what they wanted to do. They want to run, rely on their defense, run the air out of the football, and pick up third downs. So,
and we were told he played smart too and wouldn't, you know, force throws. And he does a ton of that, Pat.
Exactly, because now the game is different. You know, now we're not just relying on the running game. Now we're just not relying on our offense. As a quarterback in the NFL, you're going to have to make plays. You're going to have to make throws, not just in the fourth quarter, throughout the game, in order for your team to be successful. And he has yet to do that for this Minnesota Vikings on a consistent basis. We need to see more nine and less J.J. McCarthy.
Ah, the sounds of an Etsy holiday. Now that's special. Want to hear it again? Get original and affordable gifts from small shops on Etsy. For gifts that say, I get you, shop Etsy. Tap the banner to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.